Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 12:15-21 tells us that our Lord Jesus withdrew from the synagogue. Great multitudes of people followed him, and he healed them all. And he warned them not to make him known, in order that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And then Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. Jesus' warning to the people not to make him known is an example of Jesus' meekness, which Isaiah foretold in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 says, "Consider my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." Jesus Christ is God's servant. God chose him. God chose him from eternity to be the Savior of his elect people. God ordained Christ to this office and this task. Brothers and sisters, that is so important. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." God chose us in Christ. And even though God sees us in all of our sin, even though we are so defiled and filthy that God cannot look upon us, he looks upon us in his own Son, whom he has chosen. He looks upon us in Jesus Christ. God chose Jesus, and he chose you and me in him. God chose Christ to be our mediator. God chose Christ by his eternal decree to ransom his church. Christ did not choose himself. Christ did not usurp an office and authority. To usurp means to seize and hold a position and authority by force, without right. Jesus did not seize an office. He did not take an authority that was not rightfully his. No man calls himself to the office of high priest or mediator. God called and appointed his own Son to this office. And Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily took up that work of our salvation. Christ is a choice servant. He is excellent in every way. And this gives us great comfort. Everything that Jesus Christ did for us, he did as God's choice and chosen servant. The Apostle Peter quotes Isaiah 28, verse 16 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 6, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." The builders rejected Christ, but he is precious in God's sight. He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who disobey the word of God. It is not right for men to reject Jesus Christ. It is an injury and sacrilege against God. It is absurd that man's desire and man's pride should frustrate God's calling, which ought to be holy and inviolable. God's choice is best and wisest. God has chosen Christ to save us. Shall we choose any other Savior? Shall we try to save ourselves by our own obedience or by our own righteousness? Shall we look to the mediation of Mary or other saints to intercede for us? Part of the office of Jesus Christ is to intercede for us. The Scripture never says that God chose Mary or Moses or Paul or Peter to be our Savior. No, the Scripture says, "Behold, Jesus, my servant whom I have chosen." God chose a husband for His church. He chose Christ for us. It is intolerable, sacrilegious rebellion and impudence to refuse the Savior and Mediator that God has chosen and set up other mediators that we choose. We are not wiser than God. God's choice is the best. He is God. He is infinitely wise. He knows all things. He is the one against whom we have sinned. It is foolish to refuse Christ, as the builders did. It is foolish to go to any other servant. Every other servant is a broken vessel. We can apply this to our worship and our devotions and our prayers. When we come to God in worship, when we come to God in daily devotions and in prayer, we should offer Christ to God. "Behold, Lord, your chosen servant whom you have chosen to be our mediator, our great high priest, our Savior, our all in all. He is the mediator and Savior whom you chose. You will not refuse your own chosen servant. If you look upon me, there is nothing but my unworthiness. Father, look upon Christ, whom you have chosen to be my head and my Savior." We must embrace Christ, the servant and Savior that God has chosen to redeem us. We must kiss the Son with the kiss of love, faith, and subjection. We may not refuse Him. Why do people refuse this chosen stone? They will not humble themselves enough to build upon the cornerstone, which is Christ. They will not bend to rest upon Him. We're like stones that stick out here and there, with our pride and our sinful desires and our wicked lives and our corrupt minds. We cannot rest upon Christ, the cornerstone, unless we repent of our sins. We must be willing to break off our sins and to follow Christ. We must become like Christ. He is the cornerstone of God's holy temple. People refuse Him because they do not want to humble themselves before God and turn from their sins and rest upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He is the only stone to build on. You cannot build on Him and on other things, such as your own works or traditions or your good intentions or your family. God has chosen Christ, and therefore you must trust in Him and rest upon Him alone. Our text continues with the words of Isaiah concerning Christ. "Behold, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased." Isaiah wrote that hundreds of years before Christ came to this earth. We know it is true because God Himself testified to its truth with His own voice from heaven. John the Baptist baptized Jesus at the Jordan River. Suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." that is the greatest authority there is. God Himself, speaking from heaven in an audible voice for all to hear. God is saying, "My Son is so beloved that my soul delights in Him. I love Him with my whole love. I pour out my whole love upon Him." God the Father said this again. Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. We read, "Behold, a cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him.'" In what ways is God well pleased with Christ? First, the Father loves the Son as God, as the second person of the Trinity, as His own image. Second, God loves Jesus as man. Jesus is the most excellent creature in the world. He was conceived, fashioned, and framed in His mother's womb by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10 verse 5 says that God prepared a body for Christ. There was no sin in Christ's life. As man, Jesus was well-pleasing to God. Jesus' human nature was joined to the Son of God and united forever with the divine nature in one person. Third, God loves and delights in Jesus as the mediator. He delights in Jesus' office as Anointed One or Messiah. God has anointed Jesus to be our prophet, our priest, and our king. God loves and delights in Christ as He carries out His office. Jesus obeyed God perfectly as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Jesus also suffered as our prophet, priest, and king. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught the Word of God. He shepherded God's people. He did all things well. God delights in Him for His perfect work. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 17, "Therefore, my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." Because Jesus Christ humbled Himself and obeyed even to the point of death on the cross, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. God loves and delights that Jesus offered Himself a sacrifice that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God, that fully satisfies God's justice. Because of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, God will never destroy anyone who believes in Christ. In the person of Christ, God the Father embraces the whole church in His love. Since by nature we are all enemies of God, His love never reaches us except through Christ. And this has direct application to our lives. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling aroma." It is not possible that God should love Christ and not love His people. It is not possible that God should love the husband and not love the spouse. God loves His church with the same love with which He loves Christ. God has the same delight in Christ as He has in all those who belong to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 23, "That the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me." In John 17, verse 26, Jesus prayed, "And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." Our comfort and our confidence is that God accepts us because He accepts His beloved in whom His soul is well pleased. When God shall cease to love Christ, He shall cease to love the members of Christ. God has joined us by faith to His beloved Son in whom His soul is well pleased. This is our comfort when we are dejected because of our sin. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, we are unworthy. But Christ is God's beloved. And God delights in us through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you are in Christ, it does not matter what you are in yourself. God loves you with that inseparable love with which He loves His own Son. Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is founded in Jesus Christ our Lord. If we are in Him, then God loves us and God delights in us because He loves and He delights in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus Christ poured out His soul to death to save us from our sins. God loves that work of Christ. And therefore God loves our salvation and our redemption. God delights to save us and forgive our sins, for He loves Christ, humbling Himself unto death for us. What a wonderful comfort that is. When someone accuses you in a terrible and hideous way, when the devil tries to get you to doubt your salvation and fear that God is angry with you and will destroy you forever, remember that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's our Father too. He delights both in Christ and in us. When Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, He told Mary in John 20, verse 17, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." When you are tempted, when you are cast down, when you are brought low, when the devil, the flesh, and the world assail and attack you, when your conscience is distressed by your sins, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, remember that God loves Christ. And that God is well pleased with His perfect work of saving us from sin and from death and from judgment. If you believe in Christ, God loves you and delights in you just as He does in His own Son. And this is also a great comfort to us every day when we come before the Lord our God in prayer and in praise. This gives us boldness to come to the throne of God's grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For we go to God in the name of the one whom He loves, in whom His soul delights. We have a friend in court. We have a friend in heaven for us, at the right hand of God. He interposes Himself there for us in all of our needs and our sins and our trials and our sorrows and our afflictions. He makes us acceptable to God. He perfumes our prayers and makes them well pleasing to the Lord. He intercedes for us on the basis of His work of redemption. If God loves Him for His work of redeeming us, then God also loves Him for His work of interceding for us. And God hears, and God answers His prayers for us. Whenever you come to the Lord, remember to take along our elder brother, our beloved brother. Offer everything to God in Him. In Him, God accepts our persons, our prayers, our worship, our works, and all that we do. God's soul delights in Christ. Therefore, God looks upon us as lovely and delights in us as we are members of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. We must return everything we have to God and do all to God in Christ. Be sure not to go to God naked, for then God is a consuming fire of judgment and wrath. No, rather, go to God in the mediation of the one whom He loves and in whom His soul delights. God loves and delights in Christ. Does your soul love and delight in Christ too? This truth in our text should stir up our affections to Christ. It should motivate us to be faithful in our love to Christ, for we are His bride. We should say, "My beloved is mine, and I am my beloved's." Christ delights in us. God delights both in Christ and in us. How can we not delight in Christ? Paul pronounces that bitter curse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Christ is God's chosen servant to do our work for us, to suffer for us, to bear the burden of our sins upon the tree, to become our husband, to bestow His riches upon us, to raise us to the same condition with Himself. God has chosen to love and to delight in Christ as the best object of His love. We must delight ourselves in Him and find solace and comfort in Him. He has redeemed us by His blood. We must love Him and embrace Him for His love to us. He loved us for our good. He magnified the glory of His mercy in saving our souls through Christ. We should be ashamed of ourselves when we are dull and cold toward Christ. We should be ashamed if we look upon anything as better than Christ. We should be ashamed when the truths of Christ and the gospel are cold to us. Where is our love and joy and delight? Where should we long for God to shed the love of Christ in our hearts more and more, that we may feel in our souls His love for us? We should love God and love Christ with all of our heart and soul and mind because of all that He has done for us. God values poor, sinful souls so much that He gave Christ to save them from their sins. Christ loves sinners so much that He gave His own life to redeem them. God is well pleased with His Son for giving Himself for sinners. Should we then not love one another and esteem one another as excellent in Christ? We must love each other for God, and Christ loves each one of us so much. How can you know that you are in Christ and that God delights in you? You know that you are in Christ if you find the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. That same Spirit of the living God that dwells in Christ dwells in us and sanctifies our souls and our bodies. There's one Spirit both in Christ and in all the members of Christ. If the Spirit of Christ is in us, we know that we are in Christ and He is in us. The Spirit of Christ renews us. He makes us new creatures. Everything is new. Old things have passed away. Our old way of speaking, our old attitudes, our old affections, our old friends, they're all gone. In Christ, all is new. If there is no change in us, we're not living by faith in Christ. To behold Christ, to consider Christ, transforms us. The Spirit of God makes us new creatures and stirs us up to consider God's chosen, beloved servant, our Redeemer. When we look upon Christ with the eye of faith, the Spirit of God transforms us more and more into the image of Christ in true knowledge, true righteousness, and true holiness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, the Word of God is a mirror. When we look at that mirror, we see ourselves and the glory of the Lord. And the Spirit of Christ transforms us into the image of Christ from glory to glory. And you look with faith upon the love of God, and upon the love of Christ in the gospel, the Spirit of God changes you to be like God in Christ. When you see Christ and God in Christ, you see what sin is. And you see how God hates sin. And that transforms us to hate sin as God does. God hates sin so much that only the blood of Christ, who is both true God and true man, could atone for sin. And you see the holiness of God in the gospel. Spirit of God transforms you to be holy as He is holy. When you see God's love in the gospel and Christ's love in giving Himself for us, the Spirit of God transforms you to love God with all of your heart and soul and strength and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see the humility and the obedience of Jesus Christ. When you look upon Christ as God's chosen servant and our surety and our head, the Spirit transforms you to imitate the humility and the obedience of Christ. Holy Spirit of God gives you faith to see Christ, then you will see His blessed transforming work in your life. You'll be changed in your attitudes, in your demeanor, in your speech, in your affections, in your will, in your mind, in your heart, in your whole life. If you do not see the transforming work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, then you're not beholding Christ with the eyes of faith. Pray that God will have mercy upon you, that He will regenerate your soul by His Spirit. so that by faith you might rest upon Him alone for salvation. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul delights. Amen. Father in heaven, you've called us to look upon Christ, to behold Him in His glory, to consider Him in His perfection as the Son of God, as a man and yet without sin, as the Messiah and Mediator, as our Redeemer and Savior, as the One you have chosen to redeem us from all of our sins, as your Beloved, the One whom you love, as the One in whom your soul delights. Father, you delight in His work of salvation. You delight in His suffering and death. You delight in His humiliation and in His exaltation. You delight in His intercession. You delight in His offering Himself as the sacrifice to satisfy your wrath. And you are satisfied in full. Father, we pray that your Spirit might give us faith to look upon Him and to rest in Him alone. We pray that the Spirit of God will transform us from glory to glory, that we might be like Him. We pray that your Spirit will assure us that we are yours and we are His, that you love us as you love Him, that you have redeemed us, that you are sanctifying us, that you will bring us all the way to glory. Father, we pray that we may not deceive ourselves, that if we are not resting in Him whom you have chosen as the only Savior, if we are not well-pleasing in your sight through Him by faith, through the powerful work of your Spirit, if we are not being transformed by that Spirit, we pray that you will change us. Pray that you will soften our hearts, that you will turn us from our sins to see Christ in His glory unto salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, for He alone is well-pleasing in your sight. Amen.